This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, hello, world. Carm Capriotto, Town Hall Academy from the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast Studio. So glad to have you here. Hopefully you have tuned in because you want to know how to create a leadership culture inside of your business. We talk about it all the time. It is one of the most important things. Recently on a show with Three Mobile Techs, they say that when they're in a shop, so many of the technicians would love to know, hey, is there a shop with good atmosphere to work in? And isn't that interesting to think about the word atmosphere when I think, and I know, they're really asking for where's there a good culture to work in? Hey, I've got a great team here. Let me bring them up and show you. Mike Davidson is here. Now, Mike, thank you for being here. Mike began his automotive career in 1984 as a car detailer at a GMC dealership. He started working in an independent shop in 92, opened Parkway Automotive in 98. Now, with stints at RLO, Bottom Line, the Arkansas Napa ASE Technician of the Year from 2001 to 2008. Unbelievable. He was with Elite Pro Service Group, also a business coach for Elite Worldwide, a published author, and he developed an automotive apprentice program approved by the United States Department of Labor. We've done 17 podcasts with Mike Davidson because I love the man. He's a John Maxwell certified speaker, trainer, and coach. Mike developed a training program to assist shop owners to develop leaders within their organizations. And four grown children resides in Alexander, Arkansas. 17 episodes, as I've said, including a five-part leadership series. So glad to have you here, Mike. What a resume.
I had no idea we've done 17, Carm. You're just part of the family. You call me or you email me and you tell me to show up and I show up and I have no idea how many times it's been because it's always fun to do shows with you.
Yeah, you're one of those guys that I just say, where the hell are you, Mike? I need you. And he's just somehow in your busy schedule, you show up.
Well, honestly, I want to tell you real quick, this is so important. In every single one of my leadership classes, I talk about Carm.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you why I talk about Carm. And I had emailed him years ago and I'd ask him about him getting started and doing what he's doing. And he said this, and this is, I quote him in the class. He says, my audience deserves my best every time I show up. And how can we not apply that to the work you and I do, or that Brian does, or Josh does, or anybody else that watches this? Listen to what Carm says. Our customers, our audience deserves our best every single day. That's one of the things I love about you, Carm.
Thank you. It really warms my heart to hear that, Mike. Recently, Rena Rennebaum and my daughter, Tracy, got together and they did an 8-year tribute to me. And they reached out to a bunch of people who sent in a tribute video. We released it, I think it was last week. It's on YouTube, my YouTube channel. It's been out as an audio. And when people came on and talked about that, I couldn't help but recreate that, Michael, that every time we turn the mic on, every time we design or formulated any kind of peer discussion group, I always, every single second of the podcast, think about the receptor of our information, and that would be the listener. Are they getting their money's worth? Oh, by the way, their money's worth is it's free. It's available. It's one hell of a resource to change lives, to build a better business, to be more successful with. So it's always, always good to have a guy like you on who's aligned with what we do. So thank you for that. Also with us is Brian Rogers, General Manager of Sun Automotive. What's going on, Brian? Good to see you.
Well, hey, I appreciate the intro there. And yeah, glad to be here. Appreciate hearing a little bit about you guys' backstory there too. You guys have both have done very well for us through the Elite Pro service there. And Craig knows you very well, Carm. So yeah, spoke very highly of you as well. Couldn't ask for a better shop owner as well as environment builder. He's definitely kept it on the way up. One of the greatest things I've always been able to share during the moments of acquisition in 2015 is people were worried. People, new ownership, what's going on, right? Like, is it going to still be the same Sun Automotive? And I have emphatically said, man, it's done nothing but got better and business has gotten better and our customers are getting more of everything. It was A+ when it comes to environment building. And I've learned a lot from him and can't say enough about the guy. He's just a good friend, a good owner, good person to work with. And man, we'll just keep it going as long as we can.
We are talking about Craig Noel, the owner of Sun Automotive. All you have to do is just go to my website, go to the search bar, type in Mike Davidson, type in Craig Noel, and you'll get your ear full. Because, in fact, Craig just, it's ironic, Mike. Craig calls me or emails me a few weeks ago. He says, I've got some ideas for some shows. We got to get together. I can't wait. So I'm trying to have a discussion call with him, and you bring me Brian and Josh. And I'm thinking, whoa, there's something in the air. It's the sunspots are working.
Sun Automotive. Yeah.
There you go.
The sun's always shining around here.
Yeah, the sun is shining.
Josh Steinhardt is here, the assistant GM. Hey, Josh.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Great.
So just like Brian said, Craig has spoke highly of both of you. I got a chance to meet Mike Davidson through the leadership program here last year. Great course. Learned a lot from it. Continue to learn from it and continue to share it with everybody here that we work with. Just like Brian said, Craig is the king of culture, right? The reason I came to Sun Automotive is based on that, right? I left a place called Les Schwab, which was a 400-store company, but they kind of grew. What I liked about Les Schwab was the people they had working for them and basically your teammates, right? The culture portion of that was good. So making the jump to Sun Automotive, and we'd heard about Sun Automotive and I heard about Craig, but sometimes seeing is not always believing. And boy, let me tell you, it's so much better than I could have ever imagined. I've never worked for a place where I felt so appreciated, where they understand both sides of the counter and the community and everything that he gives, not only to us, but gives back and invest in his people and his company. So Sun Automotive all the way. It's been a blessing for me. I've been here for 2.5 years. It's offered me a chance to grow. It's offered me a chance to use my abilities that I've learned in my career path along the way to put into good use, and couldn't be happier.
If everyone who's listening says, okay, those are really interesting, Mike's bio and these guys' testimonial of the place that they work at, my question to you is, what would your people say about you? I mean, I want you to think this through. Wow. Whew, God damn. Craig must walk on water. And that's good, because this is what these episodes that we do are all about. And that is why I am working so hard to develop all these hows that we need to do more of. Because people say, listen, I know I've got to develop a better culture. And I hear all these great reasons and strategies. But, you know, how do I actually do the heavy lifting? So these are the questions that we're going to attempt to answer for you today. What are your daily behaviors that promote a leadership culture? How is your leadership culture designed, developed, and maintained? How have you created a safe environment for people to talk? And how does a person step into that role to create a leadership environment? So we're going to attempt to give you some tab A into slot B how stuff today. And before we get going, high fives to our just great partners and sponsors of the show. You know, some days you wish you had a traffic cop in your shop to keep order. Shopware installed red and green lights inside its workflow page, and it shows you when parts have arrived so you can go with a repair. I believe it's brilliant. Get Shopware. And when you turn to Delphi Technologies for your chassis needs, quality is always at the forefront. Material and dimensional enhancements, as well as 700 hours worth of salt spray testing, goes into each and every chassis part that they produce. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com to see over 8,000 chassis parts Delphi has in stock for you. Mike, let's jump into this thing, how to create a leadership culture in your shop. Set this up, and then let's work with Brian and Josh to make this how to become a reality.
You know, when you were talking a minute ago, a single question that every shop owner can begin the process of creating that leadership culture is, we say that you can't give what you don't have. And this is even some training that Josh and Brian have both received through leadership. But a single question that, if you're brave, if you're willing, is to go and ask your staff members this question to help begin the process. And that question is, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Get the answer to that question, and you can start looking for areas of personal growth to develop that leadership that everyone is really looking for. And hopefully they'll be honest with you. If you've created, you'll also know, if they don't say nothing but acclimates, you may not have created a safe environment for your people. Because people either go silent or they go violent when they don't feel safe. And when I mean safe, it's sort of what we were talking about, a safe environment for people to talk.
Guys, how many times, if you've said, what is it like to be on the other side of me, that someone comes up to you and says, what do you mean, boss?
It's interesting, because I was worried about that same thought when I asked those questions. And it was an exercise that we did there in the leadership program. And I can't say how much I really appreciate that one the most. I did this with my kids at home, in particular, the one I probably struggle the most with. And I was like, dude, buddy. And he was like, well, am I in trouble? I was like, no, you did nothing wrong. I want you to know, if I haven't exuded enough care in my life to you mutually, that I know that we've been working through some tough times. But if I were to ask you, what is it like to be on the other side of me? How do I make you feel, or how do I inspire you? What is that like? And just be honest with me. There's nothing you can say, good, bad, or wrong. I just want to know from your heart what your words are about me. And he says, I'm trying to remember the exact words. My memory might not be as good as Josh. He really just dumbfounded me, because he says, well, I really just remember doing stuff with you. You're always going places. You're always doing things. You're always in taking the time when I know you don't have time because you're not working on the Galaxy in the garage or fixing the garden in the backyard or just chores around the house. And he'll see me work into the late hours to do those things. But in the middle of the day or early in the morning, go to the store and get a donut, go to the park and spend a little extra time there. You know, those going and being involved in the sports, getting into the sports, it was just really such a sigh of relief to have gotten that response from. Mm-hmm. So that being said, very rewarding, Mike. I appreciate you having that exercise in there. I can't recollect which employees I reached out to, but I thought I reached out to Evan, one of our younger ones, one of our more seasoned ones over at Junction City store at the time. And he said, Brian, the one thing I can say about you is you have a very positive attitude. And I love that because I know it doesn't matter how crummy the day can be, you'll figure out a way to put a frown upside down and make that smile happen and be happy at the end of the day. And when I was in the military, the tact, if you will, was like a little saying they had there is telling somebody to go to hell and be happy about it, right? And so we survive sometimes with our customers or our employees. And I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, you just didn't give up on me, Brian. I appreciate that about you. Those are the things I heard. And, you know, this makes sense now that we've worked on this for a while. I really got accolades for that, just sticking it out and just not losing hope in a rough situation.
I love this. And this is very much the how. So if someone looks at you, asks you the question, you got to sit on your hands. You can't want to keep explaining. You can't try to drag anything out. You got to learn to be quiet and listen. Is this true?
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of my biggest downsides is to be quiet and listen instead of anticipating what they're wanting to say. And with, like Brian said, and on that leadership class that we had, I asked all of our technicians. And for the most part, I got encouraging news, positivity. You're here for us. We know you care about us. One technician that is probably, I wouldn't say most difficult, but he's a master technician and can sometimes have some seeing things differently. And so he actually took the night to think about it and came back and said, you know, I think you do a lot. I know you care about me. Sometimes emotion can get in the way, or basically how you come across. And sometimes we don't understand ourselves that we're coming across a certain way. So we have to put our emotion in check. And what I learned, and I've been putting it into place since then, at home and at work, is to don't wear it on my face if I'm frustrated at a situation, right? To take the time, debrief, process it, come up with a game plan, a strategy, and move forward. And it has been great. Been a lot of tidal waves. Now we just have water. Get a little wind in there every now and then, but it's helped me grow as a person, helped me grow as a father and a husband, and it's helped me grow as a leader here. So.
Well, the thing that I've come to terms with in my career, when as I really began to take a really, really deep dive into leadership, is really three words that they all start with L, just for us to really grab a hold of. And that is that we, and God bless Brian and Josh, because they've heard this like a couple of gazillion times. And it's listen, learn, and lead. And listening is an actual art form. It's not something that we do automatically. It's, you got to be very intentional. I'll just tell you the story. The one who helped me understand that the best was my office manager some years ago. She's not my current office manager, but she was probably 10, 15 years ago, about 12 years ago, irrelevant. And she said this to me. She says, Mike, if someone finds it important enough to come and talk to you, it's important enough for you to listen. Okay, so this was someone who worked for me. I created an environment where someone could actually say something like that and not fear they would lose their job. And I said, oh, she's so right. She's so right.
But you didn't really realize, Mike, that was really a portion of being a good leader at that time, did you?
No, I would say no, I did not. But what she taught me was a simple behavior that anyone can do to begin to create that safe environment. And that is to stop whatever it was I was doing and to just look them in the eye and just be quiet and really clear my mind of anything that I felt like I needed to say and just listen. Because when I listen like that, when I have those behaviors that force my body and my brain, my mind, psychologically to listen to someone, then I can learn. I can learn what they really want. I can learn what their true need is. And I also can learn how I might can help them. Or what, as a leader, what do I have at my disposal? What can I leverage? What do I have available to me to help them with their problem? But if I don't listen so I can learn what they need, I can't lead them. So it's listen, learn, and lead. And it's just a an actual behavior? And that was, you know, I think one of the questions we wanted Josh and Brian to answer. So that's one I gave was that. And maybe I gave the softball and these guys may have to have something harder. But we asked, what are some of the behaviors that promote a leadership culture? All right. So I just kind of gave you one. What are some others you guys think of, Josh and Brian?
Well, I like to think that where it's all inclusive, there's no fun at the top by yourself. So anytime there's an opportunity to say, hey, excellent work, good job. But hey, I appreciate that. But this was actually our technician, Jim, over here that did that for us. If you'd like, I could take you out there and meet him. I'm not the one that necessarily fixed their vehicle. So I spread the wealth whenever it comes to praise and the accolades, because I think that they all need to hear that. We all work really hard, and to sit behind a closed door or behind a desk or far away, I mean, we're all as a team working together and we shine like that. So the how-to, it's the little things that add up, quite literally, down to, I think Josh can attest to this. I'm going checking out at Costco and the guy, Mike Cook, says, hey, do you work at Sun Automotive? Because he's the shirt up there, right? And he's like, yeah, I do. He's like, you know Josh, don't you? He's like, yeah, I know Josh. And you must be Brian. Then you're the general manager. I just want you to know he does a good job. I'm like, you're dang right, he does a good job. We all appreciate him. I appreciate your feedback too. And went back, shared that with him. He needs to hear that. He needs to know that. We all know that. So we know we're doing the right thing for our customers and keep building that positive reinforcement to what we do, for all the little things that add up to, like when Josh again said, through the word of mouth through Les Schwab, it's like, well, I've heard about it. I've seen him, but now that I'm working here, it's true. It's cool. It's great when it all adds up. To be a part of something for as long as Sun Automotive has at the top of our game, just never getting complacent, always getting better and growing. I'd say that's what it is. We don't let ourselves get complacent. And that's, I've heard to say how we do that. We don't let little things go. You know, we get a 4-star review. We wonder why we didn't get a 5. And we ask why. And then we let them know what we can do to get better. We're constantly just trying to redefine excellence, if you will. And we do that with a collaborative experience from all of our employees down to the lot attendants. So everybody's inclusive on this.
So Josh or Brian, you indicated that. So when there is a review or you hear something from someone, you make sure the staff knows about it, and probably not just Josh, right? You're letting everyone that you can possibly know be impacted by that. So the thing that came to my mind as you were speaking, Brian, is that you have a system. You have a system that says, if we get this, this is our response.
This is correct. Yep.
All right. So Josh, what would you add to what we're talking about in regards to behaviors daily that promote a leadership culture?
Yeah. So the daily behaviors, I would say, is tone at the top. You set the example, you lead by example. That needs to come first and foremost, because you, at the end of the day, are what you're the king of your castle. You're building the people up. They need to be able to look to you as a leader. And to be a leader, you can help lead people and develop leaders. So it's tone at the top. Practice what you preach, have the passion, have the desire to come in and be better today than you were yesterday. Do not quit growing and make it challenge yourself, right? The daily challenges, right? Write things down, challenging your coworkers, challenging yourself to be better. And it's all really simple and everything kind of plays a good part. If you can wake up in the morning, start your day off right, get to work, you lead by example, you are there for your coworkers, you're there for your customers, and all the way down to the end of the day, making sure that every note gets put onto the work order, that the communication happens at the end of the process, that you have crossed all your T's and dotted your I's, and you can say you've done a great job and you've created a clean, you've created a safe, and you've created a productive, efficient atmosphere for your crew. I think that's success in its own. And like Brian said, when we're out in public, that doesn't mean we're not at work. It doesn't mean we don't represent Sun Automotive. And it's contagious, and we spread it, right? It's like a wildfire. Positivity spreads positivity. People remember really good service. They remember really poor service. They don't remember anything in between. So strive the top, right? Yeah. Every time. See what you can do to go out of your way to make somebody's day. And that can be your coworker. That could be the customer. It should be everybody that you come in contact with.
You know, something I'm really interested in you guys responding to, and maybe you can respond with a very specific incident. So in other words, I don't want a hypothetical answer. I want a real answer that you guys have maybe experienced. What happens when somebody screws up or it's a really horrible day that somebody just flat falls on their face?
Those are actually my favorite ones, and I'm really motivated with them because it can always be worse than that moment was. It almost always can. And the reality is it's an excellent time to learn, and it's not the end of the world. We're all human. It all makes mistakes. We just want to make sure we learn from them and get better and be supportive. You know, as long as it's not malicious and it's like, you know, deviance, it's honestly most of the time an honest mistake. And they need to realize that. And they're probably going to beat themselves up just as much as they're feeling bad for the customer that may be the end result of it, for a, you know, a late delivery, a poor diagnosis, or a missed moment. So letting them know it's not the end of the world and it's not as bad as it seems.
My example is going to be, we have a newer service advisor. He's been with us about 8 months. Very green as far as the automotive industry goes. We're growing this person, and he took in the appointment, asked some of the questions, not all of them. It was a brake inspection the customer was bringing in. And at the end of the check-in, I kind of reviewed his check-in notes and said, hey, we have a couple different options, you know, for brakes here. We maybe didn't ask all the questions. And based off of what they told you, their brakes were just inspected and they wanted to be, you know, to have the front brakes replaced. I said, you have to listen to what they're saying. And he had basically an answer. And or an excuse for each of the questions I was asking. This is about 8:30. So his technician gets the vehicle by about 10:30, because I'm asking him. I say, hey, we got parts that are probably going to need to be ordered. We need to make sure we've got the right parts. Where are we at here? And he said, oh, well, the technician's going to be getting that in pretty soon. And now it's about 12:30, and I have already went out because I'm have to be proactive, and I'm helping train and realize that this is a two-wheel drive pickup, not a four-wheel drive pickup. And the parts that he had estimated over the phone before the appointment was even made was for a four-wheel drive pickup. And as you know, a four-wheel drive brake job, you know, slide on rotors and pads is going to be a lot less expensive than a four-wheel drive where you've got rotor, bearings, seals, pads, et cetera, and or parts availability. On the back end of that, I started on another computer, kind of got everything ready, got everything ordered, and then came back to him, and he went to go check on it. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, well, I guess I gotta call the customer. And some of that was, okay, well, now we're just going to explain to the customer. Now it's got to be, instead of $450, it's going to be $680. Well, I let him do it, right? We've got to learn. And he called the customer, and the customer's like, man, well, I could have just had it done where I was at when they checked it. I called you and you gave me a different price. That's why I came to you. And so he says, well, let me see what I can do. Gets off the phone. We talk about it. We go over it, make sure that by at the end of the day that we can get everything taken care of on the vehicle. Myself, Craig, Brian was involved in this one. And we said, call the customer back and own it. Own your mistake. You've at this point, it's all gone to shambles. Own that you are new in this role, that you did make a mistake, that there were other options that were available, and based off of their information they gave you or lack of information, because the customer didn't know at that time on the call that it was two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, that created the issue. But at the same time, own the mistake that you could have given them two different options based off the two different sources. And we were going to honor said quote that we had originally given and learn from our mistakes moving forward. And we hope that they can understand where the breakdown came from. And the customer was super excited. He was super happy. And at the end of the day, he left a happy customer and is going to be a return customer.
Josh, you did not decide for your service advisor what to do. You let him?
Correct.
Powerful.
What you did there, Josh, is what I call empowerment. And when you empower someone, you give them something that it gives them an opportunity for growth. It's different than delegation. You know, delegation kind of widens your footprint. Empowerment develops your people. And that's what you did. You allowed him an opportunity to develop both in humility, transparency, and as you said, own it. So good job, Josh. We want the audience to really understand the how to sort of get started. So you guys are sort of already there and you do certain things. If we talked about, I use the three words, design, develop, and maintain this leadership culture. Our leadership atmosphere is the word we're kind of surrounding this podcast about. How would you guys describe how you design, develop, and maintain a leadership environment?
I definitely try to lead by example every day. And I know that whenever there's times when there's in questions, I can look my employees square in the eye and go, when about the last time I let you down, Bashawn? I've never fallen through for you. Can you name a time? No. And he doesn't. He really can't come up with something because sometimes it's a little bit of trust that needs to be involved in there. And so, but I'd ask him, like, so do you have a better suggestion to help me get through this with you on this? I'm open. You know, I'm definitely all inclusive here when it comes to that.
Hey, stop guessing and get working on the next car or the opportunity to buy a second shop. Now, once you can see through the fog of numbers coming at you all day, you use less brain power to make better decisions. Start with reading the gauges on every bay and every tech with Shopware's capacity dashboard. Now, it makes it easy to see where you can squeeze in one more repair. Then get an overview of every business metric in your shop. Build your reports your way so the numbers that drive you jump out at you whenever you need them. Even if you add more shops to your operation, all the numbers end up consolidated by location or any way you want to slice and dice them. You're in control every step of the way, customizing as you go. Get a clear view. Get more profits. Get Shopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line. And more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Lead by example. Everyone observes you. Everyone knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And some people hide behind the fact that they don't think that every action that you do is reflected out to your people, that they're absorbing it, they're seeing it, they're feeling it. Am I right in my thinking here? And if I am, how have you dealt with that?
Good question. In fact, there was a time in which, for example, moving cars out of the front lot there, and I'd come in three straight days in a row moving them, and I'd just come in, get it done, move around. And then on the fourth day, I stopped and waited for the cars to pile up there. And we'd already had a discussion on we want the front lot to be open. I was like, hey, Christy, hey, Evan. And the technicians have a place to back out without cars being parked behind them. But I know we've talked about moving the cars. And I know that you've seen me come in for the last 3 days moving them. But if I'm not the one moving them and you're not the one moving, then who is moving them? And how can we work together to get this taken care of? Because it's starting to become a problem with the workflow. And we all just want to get our work done today. So how can I help? And really, the answer was for them was just, there's nothing more you could do, Brian. I just need to do better and do that and move the cars. So I stopped and asked them the question, what more could I be doing? I mean, is it, am I not doing it right? That kind of thing.
So you're really showing them what your expectations are and then hope at one point in time someday that they say, don't worry, boss, we got this.
That's the plan. And it usually works, but in this particular case, I just was like, all right, what more can I do? Because I'm not always going to be here to ask or to move these cars for you. And it's really not my job. And I got other things to work on to help you with as well. I'm not a lot attendant and I have people to do this specific job. So I just try to help them help us all solve the same problem. We all need to get in and out of the bays to work on cars. And we all need our place for our customers to park and have that good experience on the way in. I'm a little bit of a rant here, but I got to tell you can see the concern in our customer's face when they have no place to park. Like, I don't want to double park. I don't want to inconvenience somebody. And I've taken the time to point that out. Say, hey, Christy, look at that customer. What do you notice? Looks like she's trying to find a place to park. I know. How can we fix this? So use those prime examples for that educational moment to happen. And over time, we got some progress. I would have liked it to work a little bit faster, but I'm growing and stretching in on this every day, and I'm not going to give up, you know, so constantly reinventing the wheel.
I am laughing, or I was smiling so much because in a non-leadership environment, there'd be screaming and yelling and bitching and complaining and hands flaying everywhere and someone running out the door trying to fix. I don't know, did I go too far on that?
No, because it's true. As leaders, we're always on stage. And remember, we did a whole episode on what in the leadership course on what use people will be what they see. And so I had this thought just a couple of months ago. I call it visual voice. Visual voice is something that someone has of you the next time they see you from their last interaction. All right. So we gave the scenario given that Brian gave us. The next, if he had chosen Carm's trail that he described just a moment ago, if he had chosen that trail, he would have created a visual voice. And the very next day, the next time that person saw him, in their mind, they would have a visual voice of who Brian is now.
The lunatic rant. Yeah.
The lunatic rant. That's right. That's true. So the question around that is, what do you want your visual voice to say? What do you want them to hear when they see you next time? It's a real question to ask yourself as you walk into these difficult situations. Josh, how do you feel about the design, development, and maintenance of leadership environments?
So design to me is creating a structured environment, basically a process, which processes over time get critiqued. The development, that said process or design, is putting together action plans, such as what Brian said with the cars coming in. Hey guys, when one comes in, let's get that one pulled out. However, we've got to orchestrate it. If we've got to use shuttle drivers, but I want that front lot to be clear, I ask and I need it to be, right? We all are on the same team here. As far as maintenance, it's ever so changing. You'll never have a plan that can stay the same forever. It's ever so changing. There's curveballs, life happens, different employees. So the maintenance portion is always updating your process to be better. That's how I see it.
That's really good. That's well said. I think you hit on all three of those really well. You know, it was Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A. You guys may, if you've ever been into a Chick-fil-A restaurant and you say thank you, almost without exception, have you guys been to Chick-fil-A?
What do you love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So what do you hear?
Or they say thank you back.
No, they say my pleasure.
Oh, they do say my pleasure, don't they?
Yeah, they do say my pleasure.
Do you know something else about Chick-fil-A? If you've never been there, they comp your meal the first time.
This is my first time, Tim. For the 10th time, this is my first time. So how this got started, this is the lesson we can teach real quickly from Truett Cathy. You think about however many people there are at each store, times 1,900 stores, to say my pleasure when someone says thank you. He was at a Ritz-Carlton hotel. The luggage guy had set his luggage down and Cathy says, thank you. And the guy says, my pleasure. And he thought, well, wouldn't that be nice if we could say that? So remember this, that a vision rarely repeated is quickly forgotten. So all Truett Cathy did was around his sphere of influence, the people right around him, he just started saying, my pleasure, when they said, thank you. That's all he did. Now, it took a few years, all right? A vision rarely repeated is quickly forgotten. He just kept repeating it. He just kept doing it. And then his manager started doing it. And then they started doing it. And then they started. So now we've got it's now part of their culture. So all to our point that Carm was talking about, and your behavior as a leader will determine your behavior, because culture is just behavior. I mean, if we just take all the nuts and bolts out of it, it's your behavior every single day.
That is so, so damn powerful. I mean, that to me is a huge how. If we want to change our behavior, and we continue to repeat what our expectations are. And you need to listen, though, on the rail of life if you're starting to hear what you or see what you're expecting. And if not, then you're climbing somehow an uphill battle and there needs to be some change going on. And you may just have the wrong people in the wrong seats. They're not allowing you to be influencer of them. Just my comment on your thing. But I got to bring up a point because I always look for hooks. And the hook that I'm thinking of is you guys are describing an incredible work family environment to me. What's the difference between the work family and the home family? Because you just described, Brian, some very interesting things about a relationship with your son and asking them to go beyond you. And maybe the trigger, Mike, is when you walk into your business, you're not walking into work, you're working into work family. And there's probably not a difference between how you would lead as a dad or a mom or a spouse than inside the business. And maybe we put a different hat on and maybe we shouldn't.
Working with your strengths, and I think about your home life and your work life, definitely different strengths to be had there. But to not to lose the connectivity with your family and spend the time and almost just like intently listening, intently being a part of your family is very important. So you definitely have to have a time where you got to, you know, hang the keys up on the wall, put the work coat up on the wall, take your uniform off and enjoy what we worked all day for and earned a living for those moments. It helps, keeps the peace of mind. And then when you come in the next morning, when it comes to the work life, while it can be very similar, it is a work, it's a profession. It's not much different. It's just a different family. It can be tough to share. So there's times when I think that maybe the wife would be like, are you chatting with Josh again? Yeah. But we're actually talking about something fun, a car giveaway here in a minute. Hey, this is what we're planning for our next night out at the M's baseball, those kinds of things too. So it's not car related. We're just having fun. So keeping it positive and keeping it connected, but realizing it is still work we got to get done. And we all got our jobs to do.
My thoughts on it, throughout growing and throughout this Sun Automotive family, everybody that I do work with within this company at all four stores, I've gotten to know really well, to the point where me and my son are at the gym last night playing basketball. And he's like, hey, isn't that Brian down there? You know, he can spot him further, you know, faster than I can. We spend more time with our work family in most cases than we do our immediate family, right? With that being said, I have grown as a husband and a father just by taking my emotion check and my understanding of being let down kind of at work. Sometimes you technicians, you know, it's, things don't go as planned and the part didn't fix it and it could have been better explained. And now you're expressing this bad news to the customer or trying to explain how it happened, why it happened and make everybody at the end of the day be happy about it. Well, same thing goes at home. To be more understanding, it's actually helped me take it in, dissect it, and then respond to it versus when you get home, you've been dealing with it all day, right? I'm like, well, all right. Well, I didn't clock out to come home to not be understanding to my family. At the end of the day, my family is what I work for. So they shouldn't get the short end of the stick of me just because I've been at work all day. So my family at home to my family at Sun Automotive, it actually intertwines very well with how I act as a person 24 hours out of the day, even while I'm sleeping and dreaming about work or dreaming about a vacation. So That's my thoughts.
I concur with both you men. I've said it this way, that things can be bad at work. And if they're good at home, it's like just a bad day at work. But if they're bad at home, it's bad at work. You cannot focus on your work when things are bad at home. So, you know, if I were to say one thing to everyone that listens to this podcast, it's work on yourself. You can't give what you don't have, whether it's at home or at work. And your home is critical. And the other thing that's critical for you is your health, because you cannot enjoy work. You cannot enjoy your family. You cannot enjoy everything you're working for if you don't have your health. So it needs to be an important part of your life that health is maintained and cared for. I call it leading yourself. You have to lead yourself in these areas. No one's going to go to the gym for you. I mean, they might, but it's not going to do you any good or do any type of, it's like 20 minutes a day is all that's required, right? On some type of cardio, right? So I just don't want to miss the fact we're talking about leadership and it's got to start with leading yourself. And for you to be able to enjoy all that you've been given, you know, you have the opportunity to change people's lives when you're in a leadership role. You got to take care of you.
Mike, thank you for that. We cannot solve the how to be a great leader in a 45-minute podcast. We just can't. But I am thrilled from the real-world discussions that Brian and Josh have brought us. I mean, I think this may have been the first episode we ever did where someone said, oh, this is how I solved it. This is what I did. This is the environment. This is the situation. So I so appreciate that. Mike, you know leaders are readers. And part of what I think has to happen to anyone who wants to step forward to be a great leader is to read a book. Give us a recommendation or two.
Leading Through the Turn by Elise Mitchell is a great book to help you lead through change. You may not have noticed, but there's been a lot of change in the industry for like as long as we've been in it, and there will be change in it as far as we can see. How you lead your people is important. So Elise Mitchell, Leading Through Change. So that's one book. You'll have to just stop me, Carm. But another one is Multiplier. That's by Liz Wiseman. Helping you understand that everybody has a particular genius about them. They have an inherited creative genius. that helps you understand where you can put them. And discovering that, as you mentioned earlier about putting people on the bus, it helps put you people, the right people in the right places on the bus. If I can throw in one more, The Eighth Habit by Stephen Covey. The Seven Habits by Covey is like this thick, which is seven habits. Well, The Eighth Habit is that thick, and it's just one habit. So it's a lot to absorb, but it's still a great, great book. The Eighth Habit by Stephen Covey.
Thank you. We'll make sure that, I think The Eighth Habit is up on my books page on the website, where every book that we talk about on the website can be found on my books page.
I got to mention one more.
Oh, please.
Yeah, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. I would feel like a hypocrite if I didn't mention something from John. So, yes.
It is for sure up there. Thank you very much for that. And Mike, are you still taking clients on?
Oh, yeah. It's still doing and growing. In fact, I am bringing Maxwell to Central Arkansas in October the 6th of 2023. I'm coming in on a simulcast for me, him and some other speakers. But I'm pretty excited about making that happen. It was one of the challenges I challenged myself with for 2023. That I'd make something big happen where I live instead of me going somewhere. I may be the only person there, but we're not.
Please keep me informed on that.
Yeah.
I so appreciate that. How would someone get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me best is by going to our website, which is leadershiplane.net. There's a place on there that you can just click on phone call with me, and it'll throw it up on my calendar, and then you can set a time that works for you, and it lets me know, and I call you. It's not hard.
We'll put that link on the show notes page for this episode. Hey, this was great. I think there's a lot of great how-tos that came out of this. Thank you so much for creating a leadership culture. Mike Davidson, Brian Rogers, and Josh Steinhardt. And Brian and Josh work for Craig Noel at Sun Automotive. Four stores, guys, right?
That's right.
Wow. Nothing going on every day for you.
Yeah, it's good.
Good for you. Hey, stay in touch with us. We appreciate that. And thanks for sharing.
It was so nice to meet you.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Marv. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Carmen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.